That's a powerful message from the Bride Music Ministry. God bless you all. Thank you for that. Today is a prophetic service. I also want to prophesy briefly before the major prophets will come. I have just a light prophecy to give us. I won't take your time. Then the major prophets will come and take over. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For yet, in this life, yet, in this world, yet, on this earth, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The title of my short exhortation this morning is Living with Eternity in View. Living with eternity in view. Yet we have no continuing city. Yet we have no continuing existence. Yet we have no continuing life. Yet we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Brethren, life is brief. And life is very short. In the book of James chapter 4, verse 13 and 15, Apostle James told us something. He said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. Oh, today or tomorrow, by this time next month, I will be traveling to the UK. By this time next month, I'll be relocating to Canada and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be by this time tomorrow. Whereas, ye know not what shall be by this time next month. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, smoke, that appeareth for a little time. And then what? Vanishes away. For what ye ought to say, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live. If the Lord wills, we will travel. If the Lord wills, we will relocate. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Brethren, personally, my heart has been heavy because of the loss of three people I know just this year alone. A moment like this, we begin to ask questions, we begin to seek answers. The Lord says, he that seeks will find. Our God is not an author of confusion. Nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing moves God. He knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says, who has been his counselor? Who did God sit down with to begin to take instruction and advice from? The answer is in his word. Yeah, we have no continuing city. There is nothing that man has done or will do or can do that will last forever. Man is sentenced to death. You are living, you are struggling to live, and yet you are living to die. What a paradox. You are struggling to live, yet you are living to die. No continuing city. The wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, described the estate of the sons of men. Here is wisdom. He said, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men. He said, that God might manifest them. God should let them see that they themselves are what? Beasts. Verse 19. He said, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. So that a man has no preeminence above an animal. For all is what? Vanity. Last December, many of us must have slaughtered chickens, slaughtered goats, killed turkey. The wise man is saying that you are no better than that chicken you ate yesterday. You are no better than the cow from which the beef you ate this morning came from. He said one thing happens to man, and it is the same thing that happens to animals. They all have one breath. He said all is vanity. There was nobody in a better place to say it than King Solomon. Because he experienced life from every angle possible. And he concluded his saying that all is vanity. A great confusion I have seen in Christianity today is that people that are supposed to be eternal people, people that are supposed to say they have eternal life. When you are a Christian, what you are saying is you have received eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life eternal. But a great confusion, a great paradox that I've seen is people supposedly with eternal life, yet not living with eternity in view. You say you are eternal, yet in your lifestyle, there's no eternity. You say you are eternal, but you are living an eternally careless life, not an eternally driven life. Your purpose in life is not for eternity, just anyhow. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. He says, if only in this life, 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If only in this life we have hope in Christ. It says what? We are of all men what? Most miserable. Christianity brought to us eternal life. Christianity proclaimed to mankind eternal life. The message of our faith is eternal life. The goal of our faith is eternal life. The reason why Christ came is eternal life. Hallelujah. So when we see people who say they are followers of Jesus and are not living with eternity in view, we begin to ponder and ask, what Jesus are you following? Brethren, there is no promise of long life to us in the New Testament. I challenge any Bible student to come and show me that when the message of the gospel came, there was a promise of long life following it. God promised long life to them in the Old Testament. Why? At that time, the message was not eternal life. At that time, even when men died, they did not go to heaven. Their blood had not been shed. They didn't have access to God. Even the saints, they dwelt in a portion of hell beneath. The Bible calls it Abraham's bosom. It was until the blood of Jesus was shed and man was reconciled to God that the message of eternal life came. What is that telling us? The promise for God, of God to us is not that we will live long on the earth. If you live long on this earth, it is according to his purpose. That is why Apostle James said, if the Lord wills, we will live. I want to say something that many of us might not agree with. But it is the truth I see in the word of God. God did not promise you, a Christian, that you will live long. What he promised you is eternal life. So what am I saying? Even a Christian can die at the age of 20 and heaven will rejoice over it. John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus said of him that among them born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. How old was John the Baptist when he died? 30 years old. He was beheaded. The gospel that is preached today doesn't make us think of eternity. Rather, it makes us get bolted to the earth. Many of us have seen the Christian faith as a magic wand to live luxuriously in this life. I want to redirect that thinking today. The Christian faith is not a magic wand or a miracle key for you to live long and live luxuriously on earth. Christianity is God's program and agenda. We are called into that program. It goes beyond you. It goes beyond whatever you think and whatever you wish for your life. The saints of old were established in this understanding. That was why they could easily give their lives for Jesus. You proclaim Christ, they kill you, and yet they will gladly go to the place of death proclaiming Jesus. Those were people that knew the meaning of Christianity. Brethren, you can die anytime. That is what I'm saying. And before God, it will not be wrong. God is not interested in how long you live. He's interested in how well, that within the short span of time he gave you, have you received eternal life? God is not interested in you living to become 120. Of what use is that to God? Let's be sincere. If he has a special assignment for you, as long as that assignment is there, you will continue to live quite all right. But we are talking what God is after in the life of every man is for you to receive eternal life. If you die at the age of 20 and you have eternal life, heaven will rejoice. But if you die at the age of 99 without eternal life, your life was a waste. He said, let them see that they are also animals. We are not in this life to live forever. The purpose of your being on this earth, in this world, is not for me to have children, marry good wife, have this house, have house in Onitsha, have house in Lagos, have the latest G-Wagon and ML class, and you think that is life. That is not the purpose of living. The purpose of this life you have, this life that is very brief and very short, the purpose is to prepare for eternity. The purpose of this short life you have is to prepare for eternity. I pity you that at this stage in your life, because I can see I'm talking to mostly adults today, you have not prepared properly for eternity. you are of all men most miserable. Let's change our mindset and know what life truly is. We are not on this earth to live long, build house, drive cars. The earth, the life we have, is a test. You are undergoing a test. You are writing an exam. One day, your question paper, your answer sheet, will be demanded from you. And you will be scored according to what you wrote. Let's quickly see a story in the Bible. In the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 from verse 16. Many of us have not understood what life is about. So we spend our days pursuing shadows. So we spend our days comparing our life with others. We spend our days pursuing vanity. Life is a test. Life is an exam. Luke 12 from verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Number one, he's already a rich man. Number two, his investments are yielding. That means he's about to increase in wealth. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. All the banks in Nigeria, I already have accounts with them in billions. What will I do now? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. You know what? Let me start borrowing banks, even central bank money. I'm still reading. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And I will say to my soul, verse 19, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou what? Thou fool. Do you know why he's a fool? This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then those things you are piling up, who shall they be? Do you know why he's a fool? He's a fool because he does not understand this simple truth about life. That you are alive only to prepare for eternity. The man was busy as any other normal, natural man, trying to make it in this life. But God looked at him and called him a fool. Another interesting thing about this particular story is that it was at the peak of greater success that his soul was required of. Could God not have allowed him to enjoy the new return of investment that he just made? God is not interested in that. At this particular stage of your life, at this particular point where you are you ready for eternity? That is what God is interested in. I have not much to say today, just for us to think, to provoke our thinking. Brethren, don't think because pronouncements are made on you. Don't think because every new year or first of every month, you bring a fat envelope to the altar and say, Father, I will not die. Don't think because of that, death cannot come. If the Lord tarries, every one of us will die. And it is God that chooses how he wants us to die. The way Apostle Paul died, If it's in this generation, they'll say, God forbid. He was bearded. But what was his testimony before the death? He said, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That was a life well spent. Apostle Paul understood this truth about life. That life is only to prepare for eternity. When he felt he had struggled and served God enough, in the book of Philippians chapter 1, he started making statements like, to die is gain. In this age, they will say cause of untimely death was following him because he was desiring to die. But he said, if I'll be alive, it is because of you people, so that I will establish you more in Christ. This was a man that knew the purpose of life. Brethren, is your life eternally driven or eternally careless? Are you living a life preparing for an eternal life with God? Are you living life, abusing it, not knowing the purpose of the life that God has given you? Look at you. Several years ago, they gave birth to you. You were nursed. They did your naming ceremony. Before you know it, you started crawling. Before you know it, you started walking. Before you know it, you became a boy, moving up and down. You became a girl. Before you know it, you approached puberty. You became a teenager. Before you know it, you became a young adult. If I should ask people that are in their 50s now, physically, are you as strong as you were when you were in your 20s? That is a sign that, yeah, we have no continuing city. But the great thing about life is that you might not even live to be 50 before you die. Youth listening to me today, you might not live to be 30 before you die. You might not live to be 40 before you die. The most foolish thing you can do after you have come to the Christian faith is not to be prepared for death. We only confess long life. I shall not die. Cockroach death is not my portion. Brethren, death is part of the gospel. Death is part of the gospel. If you do not die, if the Lord doesn't come, how will you go and meet him? Didn't Apostle Paul say to die is gain? Death is part of the gospel. So let men of God stop feeling bad that people are dying in their church. You should only feel bad if they are not dying, if they are dying spiritually. If I produce 1,000 members in the church that are 100 years old, I will not receive any award from God. But let me have 1,000 people, even if they died in their 40s, if they died with eternity, if they died with eternal life, if they died prepared for heaven, God will commend me and tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm still a learning pastor, so forgive me. But please, this is the truth I see from the word of God. You have a church. You preach the gospel. All you preach about is how people will not die. No. We must also tell them how to die right. I will not be too faith-filled and positive-minded. Too faith-filled and too positive to let you think that you cannot die. You can die at any time. Regardless of the anointing we pour upon you, you can die. You can die. Christianity is not a license for long living or long life. The promise in our faith is eternal life, not long life. I'm saying it again. Come and show me in the New Testament where God promised us eternal life. I didn't see it. Where God promised us long life, I did not see it. If not, you will say that God is unjust. If you know the history of the Christian faith, in the first century and in the second century, many Christians did not live to be adults. Because once you profess Christ, they kill you. So if the promise of God to us is long life, that means God did not fulfill his word in allowing those people to die so fast. If you are alive, it is because he wills it, not because you pray too much. When God says, I will require your soul of you this night, if you like, spend 7 months on the mountain of mercy. When the appointed time comes, maybe it is when you are coming down from that. In fact, it's even on that mountain that something will happen to you and you will just fall down and die. We must prepare to die. It's part of the gospel. It's not an issue of you are wishing yourself negative things. It's a lie. I'm too revelated to know that. It's not negative confession or wishing yourself negative things. Until God is done with me, I will not die. And when he's done with me, Father, don't let me live one day extra. Many of us don't even know what awaits us. That is why we are afraid to die. I hear Christians say, let the Lord not come now. I never marry. I never born pekin. I never build house. And they say it with all their heart. Anytime I hear such, I laugh. If you are joking, it's understandable. But if you are making such confession from the depth of your heart, you are of all men most miserable. Apostle Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You have not tasted, you have not caught a foretaste of glory divine. Death is part of the gospel. I want to say it again. Brothers, sisters, mommy and daddies, death is part of the gospel. Death is part of the gospel. Our duty as servants of God is to prepare you for eternity. That's our duty. If you like, have all the houses in Ikoyi and you live to be 90, what benefit is it to me if you are not prepared for eternity? So ministers, we have not failed. If somebody dies in our church, we have not. We have only failed if the person died physically and the person died spiritually. But if the person died physically and is spiritually alive, Apostle Paul said, we should not sorrow like them that have no hope. He said, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, he said, them that slept in Christ will God bring again. The Christians of this generation, we are spiritually poor. Very poor. We shout fire. We attend vigil. We walk in power. And yet spiritually, we are nothing. No spiritual strength. All we know is anything that will benefit us now, physically, food to eat, clothes to wear. Fine shoe, fine car. What has that got to do with the faith? The primary purpose of our faith is to prepare us for eternity. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He that believes in him should not perish. But what? Have house in Banana Island. He that believes in him should not perish. But have visa to Canada. He that believes in him should not perish. But build 5 mansions in Owerri. No. he that believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This life is more than what we see. If you die, either of two things can happen to you. Let's see something in Luke chapter 16. Let's start having little stamina for our faith. You know something? Many preachers don't like to talk about death because they believe if you talk about it, people will be dying. Even when they don't talk about it, people know they die. So let's be sincere. You cannot help God. Let the people know the truth. Luke chapter 16 from verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. The only thing that some people pick in this story is that Lazarus was a son of God and he was poor. He's more than that. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You can see the wretched condition of Lazarus. And it came to pass that the beggar did what? Died. In this generation, they say, Lazarus, I will not be like Lazarus, I'll be like Abraham. Don't worry. Lazarus the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, because life begins after death, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Oh, where is the remote to my air conditioner? I can't find it. Oh, where is the fan? In hell, he lifted up his eyes. When you die, life is just starting. Either an eternal life with God or a very long life in hell. Did you hear what I said? Either an eternal life, an unending life with God, or a very, 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 very long life in hell. It is very long, but it will take you, it might take millions or billions of years, but you end up being completely destroyed. But you will stay very long in hell. The rich man failed the test of life. He was rich, but his riches could not help him at this particular junction. He had connection to the presidency. They could not help him at this particular junction. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The name changed from the beggar to Lazarus. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. So the rich man was a churchgoer. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. The tip of his finger in water. And cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that when you are being tested in your lifetime, you had it good. You had it so good. And Lazarus, he had it rough, evil things. But now, he is comforted, but thou art tormented. Beside this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. You cannot pass over here. I cannot pass over there. It is done. It is settled. You cannot travel and come to where I am. There is no more extension of mercy and grace. There is no flight from where you are to where I am. Next verse. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you will send him to my father's house. Because while I was on the earth, I did not know that life was a test. I did not know that I was supposed to prepare for eternity. I have five brothers. Let him go and testify to them that there is life hereafter. Let him go and testify to them that when we die, life is just starting. Let him go and testify to them that, life on earth is vain. It is nothing. It is smoke that vanishes away. Let him go and testify to them to prepare for the life hereafter, so that they will not also come into this place of torment. What did he say? Abraham said unto him, they have the Bible. Let them hear. They have the Bible. Let them hear. They have preachers like Pastor Moses. Let them hear. He said, no, Father Abraham, no. If Lazarus should rise from the dead and go and tell them, they will repent. What did he say? He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one should rise from the dead. From the story of Lazarus and the rich man, it is very clear that life only begins when you die. We spend all our days and energy preparing for the life that is not. The life that is not. Do you know why there was a character like Lazarus? It was not that Lazarus was stingy. Let me tell you something. We used to say, Lazarus was stingy. That's why he's poor. I stand to be corrected. It is not so. If not, you will say that Job was also stingy. That was why such things happened to Job. Do you know that in the law, in the old covenant, if you are righteous, part of the blessings is prosperity. If you are righteous in the... That's why God made promises to them. Deuteronomy 28, you see promises. If you serve me, if you do this, I will bless you. You will lend to nations. You will be the head and not the tail. And the Bible says that Lazarus was righteous. So Lazarus was not stingy. Because the law required generosity. The law of Moses required that you should be kind to your neighbor. So Lazarus was not stingy. God left such a character to pass a message to us. Lazarus was in the worst estate of the sons of men. Number one, he was poor. The Bible says he was a beggar. That means he can't even feed himself. He desired to eat of crumbs that fell from the table. Number two, he was sick. The Bible said he was full of sores. So which condition could be more wretched than Lazarus's? Which condition? The message there is that God is more interested in your eternal destination than in any other thing. That's the message. Despite Lazarus's condition, despite his condition, we are not saying poverty is good. Don't get me wrong. Poverty is a curse. Sicknesses is a curse. They are all results of the fall of man. That is why where we are going to, there will be nothing like poverty or sickness. So it is not to justify poverty or sickness. No. It is to tell you that your life is not about here. See his condition. But he knew the purpose of life. And he made it. He passed his test. Lazarus passed the test of life. He received eternal life. How many of us are passing the test of life? Lazarus had an understanding of the truth that life begins when you die. You are not yet alive, oh. You are preparing to live. Whether you will live eternally with God or you will live long in the lake of fire, life begins when you die. Let Christians come to an estate that we live with eternity in view. Let's stop being too bolted to this world. The only thing that will pain me if any of my loved ones die is that they died without eternal life. Brother Dennis, I've said that to you several times. The only thing that will pain me if any of my loved ones die, like my mother has not received eternal life, if she dies, it will pain me because I know eternally she's lost. But if she receives eternal life and she dies, I will rejoice. Yes, if my wife dies, I will miss her. See, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm not here to paint words. If my wife dies, I will miss her because of who she is to me. But I will not sorrow that I have lost somebody. No. She has gone on to be with the Lord. Until we know that this is truth. Let's know that this is truth. Let's know that this is truth. Let's stop this thing that we feel as if you take death to be something so bad. It is only bad if the person dies without Christ. If the person dies in the Lord. The Bible did not say we should sorrow. It said we should rejoice. We love the world too much in this generation. We Christians, we love the world too much. If you say you have truly received eternal life, why are you not laying for yourself treasures in heaven? If you say you have truly received eternal life, we see it in the lifestyle of many of us. What does Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 and 2 say? It says, if you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3 verse 1 and 2. It says, seek those things that are above. Can we have that scripture? Colossians 3. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Brethren, let's begin to live with eternity in view. Yes, see you in the rapture. See you in the rapture. But not all of us will go through the rapture. Some of us will go through the grave. And please, it is not a bad thing to go through the grave. Those days in youth contenders, we used to have an argument. We say, resurrection is better than rapture, Joe. Some people say, no, we want to go in the rapture. Some people say, no, I prefer resurrection. Why? Because if my body decomposes from the little atom that remains, God will bring up a new body. That means I will experience both resurrection and then at the same time, I will be raptured. So say, those that are going through resurrection, they will experience more power than those going through the rapture. Whichever way you are going through, let's live with eternity in view. Your life begins when you leave this world. And how you live now will determine where you are going to. Don't you ever think you have time? Before I became a Christian, I knew that I should serve God. But I kept saying, when I get to the university, I'll give my life to Christ. I was postponing my... I just thank God for my life. What if I died before that time? I know of a friend in his early 20s who was in a private school. He had finished, they were waiting for their convocation. He did a 5-year course. They were waiting for their convocation. They were still in the school premises. Early morning, let them go jogging. There is no news that he was sick before, no record of any sickness. He was jogging. By the time his friends would get to him, because he ran faster than them, they met him on the floor. Femi, wake up. Femi, wake up. Guy, stand up. Joe, waiting they do you. Guy, stand up. Guy, don't go. I don't think he was up to 24 when he died. So, prepare now to die. Prepare now to die. It is not when the death comes that God is interested in. It is not how you die that God is interested in. He is interested in what estate you died. It's because we cannot comprehend what lays ahead. That is why we live our life in fear of death. Didn't Jesus say, "Fear not them which have power only to kill the body, but have no power to kill the soul"? Whatever you are doing in life, let your death day be in your mind. Everybody remembers their birthday. Let the thought of death also be in your mind. Somebody say, "What's wrong with this brother? Come on for this pulpit." Somebody say, you go die. If you lie, come and chase me from the pulpit. I'm telling you the truth. No positive confession will stop death. No positive confession. Now, are you saying there's no untimely death? There is untimely death. When it's not yet time for God to require your soul, and then the enemies killed you, there's untimely death. Untimely death has only hastened the day of submission. It has only quickened it. Maybe they gave you 2 hours to write an exam. Untimely death can cut short the 2 hours to 1 hour. Yeah, time up, submit your paper. We have power to scatter untimely death. Quite all right. But when a Christian dies, a Christian that is prayerful, a Christian that is serving the Lord, a Christian that believes the Lord and is serving Him sincerely, not to even talk of a Christian that is part of a prayerful ministry like this, brethren, is not untimely. It's not untimely. It is timely. Because the Bible says times and seasons belong to the Lord. It is timely. I don't have much to say this afternoon. Let's just be established in this simple truth of our faith. Don't be moved with the crazy Christianity that we see in the world today, where nobody tells us the truth, where they tell you this world is your home, possess this world. We are called pilgrims and strangers. If truly you are a pilgrim and stranger, when they say it is time to go home, you will be happy. You are not getting it. The truth is, many of us are not ready for heaven. Many of us are not ready for heaven. When they say it is time to go home, you will be happy. Apostle Paul desired to go. He said, "We that were in this body, we do groan." For somebody to say to die is gain, he knows what he's saying. But when you have not caught the revelation he caught, you cannot walk in his footsteps. Wake up, Christian soldier. Your life is only a test. We are in this life for 2 things. To know God and to love God. That is the whole purpose of life. To know God and to love God. That is the whole purpose of life. In whatever condition you are, whether you are like the rich man or Lazarus, let this purpose of life be fulfilled in you. To know God and to love God. Jesus was praying in John 17, verse 2 and 3. He said, "Father," John 17, verse 2 and 3, "I pray for this that thou hast given me, that thou give them, and as thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Verse 3, Jesus said, "This is what? Life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Can you see what eternal life is? To know God and to love God is the purpose of life. What about loving God? In Matthew 22, is it verse 29? Where he said, this is the first, Matthew 22 verse 35. Matthew chapter 22 verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. He said, on this, and then he said, the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on this do what? Hang all the law and the prophets. Forgive me if I've shouted at you today, but love constrains us to preach the truth. Whatever estate of life you are now, begin to prepare for eternity. That is the message. Whatever condition you are now, prepare for eternity. God might have allotted to you just 40 years on this earth. Please, within those 40 years, ensure you are eternally secured. Let's say, is it possible? A prophet went to Ezekiah and said, thus says the Lord, put your life in order, put your house in order, you will die. He prayed for extra time. Yes, God gave him extra time, but you saw what he did. Even the extra time he prayed for put him in trouble. There is an appointed time for all of us seated here to die. No, Ito. There is an I that I'm talking to you. I might not reach 40 years before I die. I'm not cursing myself. I'm being sincere. That is what we don't know. I'm not cursing myself. I'm being sincere. I might not reach 40. I'm not yet 40. I might not reach 40 before I die. And if I die the way I'm still serving the Lord. Yes, if you miss me, you can weep a little, but don't cry. Because I'll be resting in the bosom of the Lord. The day the Lord granted me this revelation, my psyche changed. I now know that every life, every second I have while I'm still alive is for me to lay up for myself treasures in heaven. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:19? In Matthew 6:19, he looked at his disciples. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, but lay up for yourself what? Treasures in heaven. If you are sure you are saved, you have received eternal life, then be heavenly minded. Every second you have is to lay for yourself treasures in heaven. But with the way many of us still live our lives, we are not ready for eternity. We are not. We are not ready for eternity. And it will be a waste. You will not have anybody to blame. The rich man would have cried, oh no, had I known. But you have an opportunity to hear truth from this ministry. Brethren, this is the raw truth. Prayers and positive confession. Yes, prayer changed the mind of God over Ezekiah. But it was just 15 years he added. Ezekiah did not live to be 60. It was just 15 years that was added to him. So there is an allotted time for all of us. This one is not an untimely death. It is from God himself. Because look at the language that God spoke to that rich man. He said, this night, thy soul will be required. So it was not untimely death that killed that man. I don't know if you are getting it. He did not say, they'll kill you this night. No. He said, this night, your soul will be required of thee. Somebody, when will your soul be required of you? When? It might not be when you are 70. This is what they call bitter truth. It might not be when you are 70. Do you know that there are some of us listening to us, either watching us or here now, that might not exceed this year? Hey, Ralum, the Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost thunder. In fact, let the ground open and swallow you on that altar where you are. Ground open, oh. Oh, the ground did not open. Sorry. Let me say it again. Some of us might not exceed this year. another saying, ground has not opened. Some of us might not exceed this year. And it will not be because of untimely death. If it's untimely death, we have sharp prophets in this church. This atmosphere is an oligosphied atmosphere. If it's untimely death, God will expose it. Brother Sydney, I think last year there was a spirit of death following you. Pastor picked it up and did deliverance for you. Now that is untimely death. He exceeded last year. That one is untimely death following him. And deliverance was conducted. The spirit went back to wherever it came from. If it's untimely death, being a member of a living church and you are faithfully serving God, God will reveal it to you. You will see it in your dream. A prophet will pick it up. Those are the benefits of working with God. But brethren, there is also timely death, and it can happen anytime. This brother, waiting to do this, brother. Some of us might not exceed this year. It is the truth. Be prepared for eternity. It is only those of us that are alive that are weeping. The dead in Christ, they are rejoicing. Ah, I made it home. Father, thank you. Father, if God can open our eyes to see the Holy Ghost party that is going on in heaven. Apostle Paul saw it. That's why he desired to be there. If God should open your eyes to see heaven, you will desire to die now. It's the truth. But those that did not die in Christ are the beginning of a long life in torment. Just started. Brethren, let's wake up. I've searched the Bible. If my understanding is wrong, I will come back and correct it. But this is what I see from the Word of God. Whatever condition you are, see, the goal of life, I say it again, the purpose of life, the goal of life is to receive eternal life, is to prepare for eternity. Once it is achieved in you, it is a life well spent. You pass the test. Other things are just because we are alive. Characteristics of living things. Other things is just because we are alive. But don't lose sight of the purpose of life. So if it is the will of God for us to die this year, if it is the will of God for me to die this year, I receive it. If it is the will of God for me to die this year, I receive it. But if it is not the will of God, 30 years from now, you still see me standing. Because untimely death cannot take me. No, I'm telling you the gospel truth. Untimely death cannot take me. If you see me go, know that it is God that called me. Even if it is through accident or sickness, if you see me go, because are you saying God did not have the power to stop the accident? Are you saying God doesn't have the power to heal me of that sickness? If you see me go, God called me. It's only my wife you should pity. She's the only one you should pity. But me, where I am, your tears, I'm not feeling it. Your sorrow, I'm not feeling it. I'm too raptured in joy in glory land in heaven that I can't even understand why you're crying. That is the truth for the Christians that die. So those of us that have lost anybody who was a genuine child of God, be comforted. They are not weeping. They are in a better place. Sorrows are ended. Tears are ended. Troubles are over. They are only looking back at us, letting us know that the life you have is an opportunity. The life you have is a seed. Plant it wisely so that when you leave this earth, you will reap very well. The Lord shall bless us in Jesus' name. I don't know. Is there anybody that would love to come to the altar and ask God to redirect your life? Let's bow our heads. I feel constrained to do this. Now, Lord, I've not been serious with this journey of eternity. Bow your heads and talk to the Lord where you are. Those that want to come to the altar is open. Father, you mean if I die now, where will I actually be? Wherever you are, you're watching us around the world, your screen is your altar. Father, I want a second chance. I'm not saying a second chance that you have been fornicating. No, I'm saying a second chance to take eternity more serious. A second chance to be more eternally conscious. A second chance to be more eternally driven. What would have happened to me if I died yesterday? What would have happened to me? Or what will happen to me if I died this morning? Father, I've not been serious about life as I should be. Lord, I've not been serious about life. Wherever you are around the world, your screen is your altar. You can go to the Lord on your knees before that television set and talk to the Lord. Father, I want to become eternally driven. Lord, I want to be more eternally. You said in your word, all is vanity, vanity, vain. I have been pursuing shadows, Lord. I've never even heard I could die anytime. They've not told us that you can require my soul at any time. My money will not stop my soul. My position or anointing will not stop the requirement of my soul. Father, what if you call for me today? Can I say I am ready for eternity? Somebody tell the Lord, make me ready for eternity. Lord, I want to be ready for eternity.
Come and take,
make me ready.
Your place.
The altar is still open. Talk to the Lord, somebody.
Come and take.
The people that died this year, even Christians, it was not because they were not prayerful. It was because God required their soul. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Are you prepared? What if you leave this place and you die in an accident? Are you prepared? Father, I want to live with eternity in view. Father, I don't even know how many days I have left on earth. I want to begin each second of every day to live with the consciousness that I can go anytime.
Give me you.
Give me you.
Everything else can
wait. I want to live with eternity in view.
Give me you.
Give me you.
I hope I'm not too late.
Father, we thank you. Lord, It is a bitter truth. Myself that is saying it. It's not because I want to die, Lord. But it's a reality we must all live with. Father, whatever days you have allotted for us, give us the grace to live properly in the name of Jesus. Help us to live here not with condemnation of death, but with the vision of eternity. But with the desire to know that life begins when we die. But with the understanding, the assurance that there is a life hereafter. And help us to begin to walk towards such, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, those that have humbled yourself to come before you at the altar, both watching us and those here. Lord, it takes great boldness of faith and great conviction to bring them forward like this. That they let your grace come upon them in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us all spiritually. Help us not to be carried away with the false Christianity that is popular today. In Jesus' name we've prayed. God bless everybody seated at the
altar. Goodbye world.